Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Okay, so today we are excited. We get to talk to Thomas Wilson Brown, who appeared in one episode of 90210 in 1993. He played Joe Wardlow, a bad boy who meets Steve Sanders in detention. I think we all remember and appreciated him. So let's bring him in.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Thomas.
Hello, how are you?
I just have to say to start with that I'm fangirling out because you were literally my first crush in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, oh my God.
Great. You were so good in that.
You
oh
were so cute. I remember
Wait, but
seeing,
that was before 90210, right?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Did
I
you know
young,
then,
young.
Tori, that did you make the connection between Joe Wardlow and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I can't remember, but I mean, we never worked together on the episode, so.
Probably not because, yeah, we didn't really work together too often. I think we, you know, in and out, we saw each other.
Yeah.
And I met you good, but I think it was quick and fast. So I don't think, yeah, it was a couple of years prior, so.
Yeah, you'd done other shows like Knots Landing. And I mean, you did a lot of great TV appearances back in the 90s.
Did you know Brian before the show?
Oh, yes. I knew
from
Brian.
From Knotsland?
Well, I knew him. No, actually, I knew him from acting classes. We studied the same place for a long time. And so I knew him prior to him doing 90210, actually. And so it was kind of neat. But I don't think I barely worked with him on the show either. I don't even know if I saw him on the show.
Yeah. You know, you worked with Steve, Brandon, Dylan. Yeah. And then you were in the Peach Pit with Andrea and Nat.
Right.
Trying to think. I don't think we worked together either.
Oh, no. Yep. No. You came in at the, nope. You came in at the end from your dates.
Oh, you and with Brenda. The boys. Brenda and Kelly come in at the end. I don't know if you, did you watch the episode?
Sorry.
We watched it. We just watched it and appreciated it.
Yeah, that's, it's hard to remember. We watched the episodes back now and we don't even remember filming some of them. We're like, oh, it's like a brand new storyline, which is fun.
You guys like the hottest item on the menu back in the day. Are you kidding? Back then when I was working with you guys were it. So, you know, we were all kind of a little shell shocked with working you guys.
Oh my gosh. Are you saying I had a chance?
Oh, well, I was with my now wife. I had been with her for probably a couple of years, I think.
Even then? Oh my God, that young. Wow.
Yeah, I met my wife when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Been with her for, well, since then.
Okay. Tell her sorry. I didn't mean that.
No, it's okay.
That's so awesome. That's okay. You guys.
She came to the set and I remember Luke Perry looking at my wife. I'm thinking, hey, but back off.
You gotta watch out.
Okay. My big question for you is that jacket, the jean jacket with the Sherpa lining, was that your choice?
I don't remember, but I remember the jacket very well, which is
that was like a Brokeback Moment jacket.
I still have flashbacks every time I see the jacket like that. I'm like, oh,
it just jacket. I don't know. I know that those jackets were coming in then and they were popular, but it was so big on you. It was like this huge jacket and you were like such this cool, good looking guy. I wanted you to take the jacket off.
Jacket.
But I was like, did they put the jacket? Because Steve so many times went like this to you. They needed to protect you somehow.
Maybe. No, I also, I'm pretty like, you know, as you see, I'm even buttoned up now. I'm very kind of factually shy with my, you know, my.
With showing off the bod.
Which I actually have a pretty good body, so I'm not going to deny that. But, you know.
Toot, if I do say so myself.
Older now, but it's a little bit different.
You were definitely hot. I mean, what did you do? You remember when you got the show, or did you audition, or what was the process like for you coming onto the show?
Oh yeah, I auditioned. Matter of fact, it was Joanna Ray who cast the show at the time, and I'd met her on multiple different projects, and she was sort of a casting supporter of mine, and I think she kind of, you know, rallied around a lot of the things I. Kind of supported me in some projects and I auditioned just like normal and getting a part.
Did you like the character of Joe Wardlow? Like in the beginning, we weren't sure if you were going to be a good guy or a bad guy. What was going to happen?
It's always fun to play kind of the bad guy in a way. It is sort of fun. I mean, I've kind of built a pretty good career out of it, playing that character that's sort of edgy and has a chip on his shoulder and angry of some sort. I don't know why, because I think I'm a nice guy and but I think it's just sort of the way it looks and the way I obviously have something about me that is intense, I guess. So
You're the best. You're a good combo though. You're like that edgy, kind of dangerous, maybe jerky guy, but there's something likable about you that you can't deny, and it ends up coming through. So that's always a great character.
That might be it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I was going to ask if there was talk when you first auditioned or anything or got the part about the character coming back or being recurring, because it was such a good character.
Mm-hmm. And
for sure, when I saw you, I was like, oh, this great looking guy, like
goes to school with them.
Show, he's ruffling feathers, but now he's friends with them. Like he's going to stay around. So
I wish it had happened. I mean, I was definitely open to it. I mean, the show was, I think it was like the third season or second or third season. And the show was very successful, obviously. So yeah, I thought there should fit. I mean, the way the storyline kind of traveled with his character, I thought, he could be in there and
for sure kind
of coming out at least. And yeah, so I was kind of hoping it would, but you know, I mean,
I could have seen you with Kelly. I could have seen Joe with Kelly, actually.
Well,
as a distraction to make Dylan jealous. I don't know. I just made that up, but I would have liked to have watched that.
You were born in New Mexico, right?
No, actually, I was born in Wyoming.
Wyoming?
Yeah, I grew up on a ranch in Wyoming. And then I moved to New Mexico, which was where my family was originally from. And
then you came from New Mexico to Beverly Hills.
To
LA.
Beverly Hills.
Must have looked a lot different.
yeah, it was completely different because I grew up in the country in New Mexico. You know, up to moving to LA, I grew up in the country, and so it was definitely different. And even living here today, it's still, I still try to get back to the country as much as I possibly can, because that's kind of where I feel more at home.
You and me both.
How old are your kids now?
Oh, they're not kids anymore, are they?
Always our kids.
I know. My youngest is 23, 23-year-old daughter. And my oldest, who is my stepdaughter, who is now, which I have to say, because she's only 12 years younger than me. So it's kind of funny. It's one of those weird situations. she's 37.
That's a fun party combo to have.
It's funny. I mean, I was 12 years old when I had my daughter. She's got kids, so I am actually a grandfather now.
Wow.
Wow. What? Oh my God. You're like the youngest, hottest grandfather ever.
Thank you.
Grandpa.
Wow.
What do they call you? Grandpa? Pappy?
Oh, no. Grandpa was not even an option. It's granddad.
Granddad.
I had a granddad, so it was granddad. And grandpa sounds really old.
Granddad sounds good. I like that.
So it's granddad.
That works.
Yeah. And do any of them want to be actors? The kids, the grandkids,
No, I mean, the oldest one is 7. And they're all, they all have great character ability, he's funny, and he started playing guitar last. He has taken guitar lessons now. And I see potential, but at 7 years old, I'm in the film industry from a young age. So I know it's you kind of have to want it yourself in a way, instead of kind of push it, you sort of have to kind of, so if they lay themselves out for it, I think maybe they would, but I don't know if my daughter would. I support though. She's pretty, she might be like, no, I'm not going to go do all that.
Did you know when you were younger that you wanted to be an actor?
Well, no, it's actually kind of funny, because I had an aunt that was a ballet teacher. And so I started taking ballet when I was like 6, when we moved from Wyoming to New Mexico, which is kind of funny, because I wanted to be a bull rider. And
a bull rider?
Wait, what? You wanted to be a bull rider?
Yeah, I read the headline. Wait.
Which I was so mad at Luke Perry when he did 8 seconds, because I was like,
I bet.
My role.
Oh, he flirted with your wife and then he took your role.
But he was great in it. Yeah. And he was a nice guy. So it was hard to hate him. I was like, I met him. I was like, oh man, he's actually nice. Dang it. But I wanted to be a bull rider and all this stuff. So anyway, and so I started taking ballet classes. My mom would take me to town, and I'd take classes with my aunt, because she needed guys, because it was all girls. Mm-hmm. But then when I was 6-7 years old, I was like the only boy with like 13-year-old girls. So I was like, hey, this isn't actually a bad deal. And my mom loved to dance, so I actually became a pretty good dancer. And then we'd do productions and stuff like that. So it kind of became, I kind of was naturally kind of entertaining in that way. I knew being on the stage and kind of knew stage presence and stuff like that. But no, I had no idea about being an actor. I the only reason I became an actor is because they were filming Silverado in New Mexico. And it was a Western, and I was 11. And my mom got her friend said, hey, I saw in the newspaper that there's they're making a Western, and they're casting local parts. And they're looking for specifically an 11-year-old boy who could ride a horse. And I'd come home and get on my horse and ride to my friend's house. That's how I got around. So she said, you want to try out for a movie? And I'm like, movie, sure, I guess, whatever. And so I went in there. I had my hat, my boots, and I was like the real deal. But that was like normal for me. And I just kept going back and back and audition, and finally I was going back for callbacks and ended up here. I'm working with Larry Kasdan and Kevin Costner and Scott Glenn, and like this amazing cast of a epic movie that became a bona fide hit and had a blast.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is fun. And, I had lost my father from cancer about 2 years prior. So we were in a transition as a family. We were looking to move to Montana, actually, at the time. We had our place for sale. And so my mom said, well, do you want to move to Montana or do you want to try this acting thing and go to California? And because some of the people were saying, hey, you know, you can give it, you know, try it. And I mean, and like even Kevin Costner was like, hey, you know, I, you know, introduced me to his agent. And I mean, a lot of support. Now, Kevin Costner wasn't the Kevin Costner as a name that we know today. Obviously, he was kind of young and kind of up and coming, but he was such a cool guy. But all the, a lot of other people were just so supportive. And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, this is probably a lifetime. I mean, once in a lifetime opportunity, I guess I could try it. And Montana will always be there, I guess. And I'll go make a lot of money and go buy a ranch. And then I met a girl in California and that's changed everything. And so when I came out and obviously and stayed out here and worked and got sidetracked on making movies and living the fast life, I guess. And
but you have that ranch in Montana now, right? You still have Montana.
Yes. Montana is still there. And I have, we have a family ranch out there. My family has a ranch out there. So I go out there and spend time up there and pretty often and just went out there about a month ago. And
whereabouts?
Well, the ranch they have now, cause they've gone, we've had several different ranches they've gone. But the ranch they have now is Eastern Montana, which is, I guess, the not so glamorous part, but it's a real working cattle ranch.
Cowboy.
It's not a pretty ranch. It's beautiful to me. It's all grass. So it's really nice.
Oh, it sounds amazing. It sounds beautiful to me.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you go back and forth, though.
I spend as much time as I can there. Yes, yes, I do. And then I have a property in Colorado as well. I bought some piece of property in Colorado, and I'm building a place there for me and my family. And I'm a carpenter as well too. So I like to work with my hands. So I'm going to build a cabin out there.
A Renaissance man. You do it all. What don't you do?
Bull rides. He can dance.
I write. I'm a writer. I have a production company. I've written a couple scripts I'm working on to develop, which is, as we all know, is a whole mission in itself. Yep. Getting a project developed, and you know, it's a very uphill battle, almost daunting.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, you have to have a lot of tenacity.
You do, and it's like, and I'm pretty stubborn and tenacious, but it's just it's so hard. You know, it's just hard to find those right people to work with, to connect with, that really believe in the project with you, believe in you, you believe in them. You know, you're asking things from them, they're asking things from you, and then it's a trust factor. You know, it's like, hey, do we believe in you? And you know, they're putting their name and reputation on the line, and likewise. And so it's so difficult when you're trying to negotiate, navigate these waters of trying to make a project. You know, it really is difficult to connect with those people and to build those relationships. And like, you guys are the same boat. People say, well, do you stay in touch with some of these people? I'm like, some of the people I worked with, we didn't have cell phones. like back in the day, it was like, I don't know. I had like 8 phone numbers, you know, that you would have somebody, and then they would move, and then you would lose contact, you know? So like, sometimes, you know, you just lost contact. You know, now with cell phones, you just sort of have had the same number for 10 years, 15 years. And I mean, you guys are the same boat. You know, you've been in this, when you look back and you're like, wow, I've been in this industry for 30 years. That's a long time.
Things have changed a lot. Yeah.
Right. You know, people, and that seems like, you know, it seems like it was a blink in the eye for me sometimes, but you know, for other people, it's like, you know, when new people come along and that all they've known is what the last 10 years of it is.
Yeah.
It's a totally different industry. You know, it really has changed so much.
Yeah. We're grateful there wasn't social media back then, because it's tough enough now seeing how people bully people on social media, but like, can't imagine having to go through that as teenagers. Like,
oof. Especially as young. Yeah, exactly. When you're young and you're making, you know, you make mistakes, or you're going out with your friends and you're doing things, and it's got to be tough for people. You know, it's just you're living in a glass house. And it's difficult when you're young. It really is. And when you're older, it's difficult.
How was that for you with your kids? Like, you raised them in LA, but you have these sort of country roots and morals and values. Was that challenging for you? Or
yeah, it was. I mean, I've always taught my children to be kind of who they are, and to have, you know, I mean, obviously believe in themselves, and to have their own voice, and to think for themselves, and to, you know, and to you know, judge people on their character, you know, not in any other standards, and to be accepting of people until they prove otherwise, you know, a lot of those things. And I do wear these hats of being very creative and but yet very realistic, and like what the true nature of our lives are. And it's, you know, basically I think growing up on a ranch taught me that, you know, it was important to learn to hard work was important, and having a value that contributed to society, and not just being an entertainer. And I think that was hard for me as an actor, because there was a part of me that felt like I wasn't really contributing other than just entertaining. And it was definitely very difficult for me. That's why I lean towards, you know, carpentry, and keep working, you know, working on ranches and doing what I can to do that, because I'm a big advocate for agriculture and stuff like that, because those are real things that people need. You know, people need homes and people need to live and eat, and you feel like you're actually doing, and I feel great pride doing that. And as an actor, it's hard, because it's not even your voice. Sometimes you're really just saying the words of other people, and you know, so I've always had this like yin and yang love affair with acting and industry. And I started writing, because it was a way for me to actually have my voice and have, what is it of value to me? What can I build? What can I bring to the table that's more than just being an entertainer, that I can actually, because the films that I always believed in more than anything, or that I just had great memories of, were something that I actually walked away from with an emotional feeling. It wasn't just a, hey, this was fun, an 2-hour movie that I forgot about. It was just something that actually kind of moved me, really, that kind of made me see the world a little bit different. And so that was kind of what I wanted to try to achieve as a writer, and to kind of helm myself into that direction.
That's so relatable and so respectable, because I can, you know, I know Tori and I can both relate with that. Like just that feeling of like, am I doing enough? Am I, what, this is where I am. And these are the cards that I've been dealt. What can I do with these cards? And how can I make something more out of it? Well, I think we're always searching for that, like meaning and sort of that meat of the story, you know?
For sure. I mean, that's why often the two of us create our own projects, because it's so much more fulfilling than when you're just cast into something and you have no control of any of it. But I mean, we all need entertainers as well, because they give us that little break from reality to be able to smile and laugh and show emotions that aren't related to our own lives. So
right. And I agree. And that's 100% value. There is value to it. And I'm not belittling that part of it. I just know for me, it was something that, for me, I needed something else. I know people who are, who this is their calling so much as an actor that I can't even imagine them doing anything else. And they can't, that it is in their being. And, as just an actor, as an actor being, that they love that part of it, that they like the word of getting up there and being, speaking other people's words and taking people on journeys through their performance. And I have nothing, it's great for, and great people. And it is true. We do need that.
But, it's just a personal thing for you.
Again, it was just for my own sake. Yeah. It's just,
yeah.
And I think it also comes from, you know, just the roots of where I come from. For me, it was, you know, my dad, like I said, my dad was a rancher, a cowboy, and, you know, and it was sort of, this is sort of become the homage to him in my life, that, you know, the legacy that I can leave for him is something that he would be proud of, would be me being somebody who actually has, you know, working hands and who isn't on a trip to become the hustler or the big guy who can make a lot of money. And, you know, it was somebody who's humble and doesn't mind being in the background, but being the supportive person of the actual thing that can actually be built. So that was sort of important for me.
And oh, I love that.
So, but I,
awesome.
I do. I think it's great that you guys have this platform because you guys, I mean, and have this ability to, you know, you've created a way for your voices to be heard and you guys continue to move forward in what you're doing. And, you know, this is what we needed, especially, you know, more women gaining power and strength. I remember Tori meeting your mother on the set.
Really?
Yes, she came to the set. I was so nervous.
Oh my God, I feel like she never came to set.
I know.
She must have come to see you.
She sat across from me, I thought she must have come to the set all the time, and someone said, oh no, she hardly ever shows up. So it was really neat. It was kind of neat to meet her and to see her. And it was just kind of just a neat little thing. And by the way, your husband is in one of my favorite movies, Open Range.
Really? Just, oh my gosh.
Just give him a little, hey.
I will tell him that. He'll be so thrilled that you said that.
I'm sure he hears that often, but that is a great movie.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Give yourself a delicious escape from the afternoon with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
What's up next? You're writing.
Do you ever get on a bull?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm like, any bull?
How's the bull riding happening?
Oh no, that's a long.
Have you really never been on a bull since you were a teenager? Now?
No, I started riding broncs. I realized as I got a little older, bulls are, they come back after you.
Yeah.
So actually, it was after even 90210. I started riding broncs. It was fun. I did it for a couple of years, and got beat up, and you know.
How's the body feeling these days?
Well, it's coming back to me. And yeah, I definitely feel it. You know, I've beat up my body in multiple ways. I'm a downhill skier. I grew up skiing a lot. And so between that and horses throwing you off and yeah, it's just construction and contracting and stuff like that, you get beat up and stuff like that. So yeah, but I'm still doing pretty good. I joined a flag football league. I just had my first game last night on the beach with some friends, and I got to the beach and I was hoping there's going to be some older people there so I wouldn't look so old. And
were there?
They were all young. And I was and this referee who's probably 60, he actually said this. He says, "Man, I thought I was old."
Oh,
I didn't even think that before. Rude. I thought, well, that's very rude. And then I thought, well, you're playing. He goes, no, I'm a ref. But I did really good.
To you though, man, for getting out there.
So I stay active, but in terms of like production projects, I'm actually, yeah, I've a couple projects I'm really actively pushing. I'm producing a film with a partner of mine who wrote the project, and it's supernatural thriller about a young woman who's dealing with her sexuality in the late 90s, mid early 90s. It's a pretty neat project. It's kind of in the vein of What Lies Beneath and Ghosts.
My favorite genre. You're exciting me right now.
Oh, it's very cool. It's very neat.
Awesome.
Excited about that. And then we're actually developing a project that takes place in Wyoming about a federal prosecutor who's deals with a human trafficking case that takes a turn into her personal life, and that we're actually kind of pitching to as a series. So
very cool.
And then I've got some other projects that I'm kind of like my passion projects that are sort of like sitting around kind of floating, and we'll see how those things take off too. But
wow, awesome. You have a lot going on. You've always had a lot going on. It sounds like you had a busy, great, adventurous life.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad we interviewed you, because I feel like so many people, you know, we all know actors from the movies we love them in, TV shows, but you don't always get to hear this side of it, of all their passions and what their life's been like.
They're
so
real,
this has been a real treat to hear about you. Like, it's completely unexpected.
Well, mm-hmm. I appreciate this. Yeah.
My first crush didn't let me down. So thank you.
Well,
very impressed.
I've always been sort of shy of media. Even when I remember when Honey, I Shrunk the Kids first premiered, we were living here. We were here in California. And then we went to the premiere in Disney World, and we screened it, and it was a pretty big deal. Disney really went all out on the screening of that film. And it was a special effects movie. So, you know, when you do a special effects, you don't really know what it's going to be until it's out. And I thought of myself as a very serious actor, you know? So I wanted to do like serious drama, and here I'm doing Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. So it was a little bit, you know.
You brought that element to that movie.
That's probably why it was just like moody little brat guy. I know we're not brat, but moody kind of character. Mm-hmm. But when I watched the screening of it, and I remember sitting towards the front of the, you know, front of the crowd and big theater, and the end of the movie, you know, ended and the credits started rolling, I instantaneously got this like, in this, my stomach kind of hurt. I knew that this could, like, it was almost overwhelming that this was going to be a hit. Mm-hmm. It scared me to death. I wasn't prepared for it. I don't like a lot of attention on me. I was afraid to even turn around. I knew as soon as I turned around, everybody in the audience was there, and I was going to have to walk this like walk through the crowd and walking to people. And it was just overwhelming. And so it actually became a huge success. And I ended up moving from California back to New Mexico for a couple of years after that. And then just moved back and forth because work, you know, I come out for, you know, for work and stuff like that, because I didn't want the attention. And my agents, my managers were just beside themselves because I wouldn't do any interviews. And I was so afraid of being pigeonholed as this one actor of this one, you know, it's sort of this weird dynamic that I had that I was so afraid of being recognized and being only that famous in my life. famous. It was, I was afraid of being famous. I was. Mm-hmm. And still, it's still a love hate relationship. You know, you want it, but you're like, until you really actually have it, you don't really know what it's like. I mean, people will say, you know, well, it's gotta be great. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's weird, you know, walking to a grocery store and having people walk up to you who you don't know, and they love you. And it's like, it's so supportive, and you understand, but it's the same side. It's kind of, it's a little bit like, it's just hard because all of a sudden you're putting attention on, you know, everything's about you, and you're like, I don't, and it's not just about me, you know, and it's, it does become kind of overwhelming.
And you seem like a really real, like a real guy. And I think that those moments make you feel like too much focused on the superficial and the things that don't really matter in life, because they don't really know you and they don't really love you. Like, they love what they see on the TV or the screen or whatever. So it's like a weird sort of battle inside.
Right. Exactly. And I find myself always trying to change the conversation to them. I find myself, oh, what do you do? What's your name? Or what's, well, oh yeah. And I'm trying to find something about them that's kind of, you know, that's
same. Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Well, we've loved chatting with you and getting to know you a little bit better. And I know our listeners do too.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And, you know, I worked with, you know, Shannon Pryor. I worked with her in Our House as well for like,
really?
Yeah. I worked with her in like, for, I was a recurring role in that with Chad Allen. And I was one of his buddies and early on, you know, I was a little kid, I guess. So, you know, I was 12, 13 years old, and Shannon was the older sister. And so it was kind of neat to, you know, back and work with her on that show. And obviously I seen Steven a lot after I worked with him and stuff like that. So it was just a,
you never know. Wow. The paths are going to cross.
I know. When I heard I was going to do the interview, I was like, gosh, like I didn't do with Jenny or Tori. I don't know what to talk about.
Just
well, it's, you guys fun. Made it so easy. I was like, I don't know what to talk about in this whole thing. And everybody's like, what are you going to say? I'm like, I don't know.
We never know either.
Well, kudos to you, because
it's,
I know,
just go, yeah, we go wherever we feel like it.
Well, I hope our paths cross again at some point, and we actually do get to work together on some level, even if it's riding a bronc or I don't know.
I would love anything. That. I would definitely have both in mind when I develop these projects. I you know, always looking for talent. Always looking for talent.
Yeah, us too. So great to talk to you.
All right, ladies, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us.
Families and your health and all that, and your adventures in this, through this life, you know.
You too, Granddad.
I know.
Love it.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day.
And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Give yourself a delicious escape from the afternoon with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.